Wherever you're listening from, you're welcome to Connected Minds Podcast. This session is just an audio of myself and Coach Richard. Well, my name is Derek Abaite, and you might be on your way to work, or you just finished from work. Maybe you did a night shift. If you're a young person that is listening to this, I guarantee you that the nuggets you get from here should be able to set you on a beautiful journey of partnership, relationships, and money. If you're a man, hey, this is for you. And if you're a lady, this is also for you. I hope the questions I'm going to ask Coach Richard is going to help you and answer a lot of the questions you have. Look, we've done a few episodes with Coach Richard, and it's been fantastic. And I hope and I believe you enjoy this one. Stay with me and stay connected. How are you?
I'm doing better than good, by God's grace.
Well, you see, the problem is anytime we ask, and I asked this question on Facebook, and I said, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And I want the true answer. Mm-hmm. Many people wrote several things. As a matter of fact, some of the replies and the responses I gave to you, a lot of them were very touching, because even that question myself took me into deep thinking of how I was feeling. So how are you feeling, sir?
I'm feeling better than the word itself.
Fantastic.
Don't forget, if you say I am fine, it's a training, something that we've all grown up with. So even if you're sick, somebody says, how are you? You say I'm fine, even though you are ill. And so what we do is we create the expectation of being fine, even though we're not. But to actually pause, reflect on the question, and describe a state that you are in, that describes the or answers the how are you. So when I say to you initially, I'm doing better than good, that's where I am right now. If I say I'm doing better than the word, again, that's where I am right now. Because I have trained myself, conditioned myself, not to look at the circumstances I'm in, but to always project myself above that circumstance. So I may be having a bad day, but I'm still doing better than good.
Amazing. We had a previous episode where we spoke a lot about marriage and finance.
That's right.
We spoke about some of the things that people should do before they even say, I do. And, you know, we've had a lot of responses. So my first question to you today is that, and it didn't actually come from me. It came from some of the responses that other people posted, okay, which is that they are married to a man that is not pulling their weight when it comes to the finances in the marriage. What should they do?
It's quite sad to have a marriage where it's only one partner who's carrying the whole load. And my heart goes out to the ladies who are carrying the family, not because of extenuating circumstances, or it's just, if I can use the word, pure laziness, or the man just taking an advantage of a kind-hearted woman. That can't last. Because at some point, the woman is going to say to herself, okay, this is not working. And one of the reasons for divorce is finance. And she would walk out because somebody else will start treating her with the care and love she's looking for. If the man is, for some sad reason, due to ill health or some condition that makes that he cannot work, then, you know, the woman, as much as is challenging for her, will uphold the family.
Should or will?
She will.
Okay.
Because don't forget, the woman is the helper. And one of the things I have come to understand is whenever I go to somebody who's helping me, they must know more than I do in a particular area. If we look at the woman and we look at the capacity of a woman, in actual fact, when the Bible says she's a helper, that she's multi-talented, multifaceted. Men, we're just logical. And we take the same scripture and we try to subjugate the woman because we think Bible says she should submit. Yes, she should submit. But you've got to ask yourself, what is she submitting in the marriage? She's submitting everything in her, about her, for the use of the man to get to his destination. So when you're in a marriage and the woman is doing everything, for a season, she will continue to help. But for the men out there who have decided that they will not allow themselves to rise and push themselves beyond the barrier of I am comfortable, it's a very slippery road.
Look, I have a friend who had an awesome business.
Right.
In a Western country. I don't want to mention names so that it doesn't become too obvious. And, you know, he was doing amazing in the real estate sector. Then found a beautiful woman in another Western country.
Right.
But the woman was in school. So he chose. In fact, the two of them decided that because this lady has got to go through school, university, he is prepared to quit what he's doing and come in to support the woman with childcare because at the time they had a child. Until the woman is done, then they will go back to the other country. Then the man can carry on with his business.
Okay.
As I speak to you today, the marriage is broken. And one of the reasons why the marriage got broken was because the man could no longer provide for the woman. The woman ended up becoming a healthcare professional, very good job.
Right.
Getting a lot of money. Today, they are divorced.
Derek, this dynamic is... I would love to be able to hear a bit more to understand why the marriage broke down. Marriages break down not because he couldn't provide. There must have been some fundamental challenges they had. And you see, communication is one of the great ingredients in marriage. And even if the man decided he was in real estate, real estate is not a full-time job. So even if he was looking after the children, is there a possibility that he could have done this on a part-time basis? What was his frustrations that he couldn't actually deal with and maybe took it out on the woman? What was his ego slip where he felt the woman was getting better so he couldn't provide? They both had agreed to go into the relationship to support the woman, to get the education. So if they have agreed, what went wrong?
Do you not think people's minds can change at some point?
Of course it does. That's the beauty about our prerogatives. I mean, it can change. But here in this question, it's not the woman who is asking to walk away. Because the man can't provide.
It actually is.
Is the woman asking?
Yes.
Okay, then that is, I heard this and it says that's a risk. If you decide to support somebody, that is a risk. But the conversation they would have had, the initial conversation, should have been revisited. And you know, divorce doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It is the smallest things that actually affects a lot of marriages. So it's not the big things. Those little things that irritate you and you don't talk about it. So if I go back into this scenario and I place in there some of the things, maybe, and I'm really asking for a load of rope on this, because if the gentleman was at home but not looking after the children, even though he was at home to do that, so the woman comes back home trying to do her projects, she goes out, goes to study, comes back home tired, and she's expected to perform her role as a wife. Cook. Be a homemaker. Then why are you home? So if the man steps in, still carrying on the same leverage I'm asking you for, if the man is not doing the role 100%, it will cause resentment. Resentment from both sides. Because if the man's security is also threatened by seeing his wife progressing and he feels he's not getting enough or he's not doing anything to improve himself, that also threatens the relationship. But at this stage, it's only a thought process where we should communicate. Sadly, men brood over things. We don't talk about it. And the reason why we don't talk about it goes back to our childhood, our upbringing. Listen and watch a lot of men out there. We do football, we do things, and we scream. We're not having conversations. We're just screaming. You and I are having a conversation. So you're listening. But go back to when we were younger, and in my days, we had guns, toy pistols, and we're running around, and our conversation was pew, 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 pew. That was our conversation. You're dead. And we run. That was all we had. If we're playing football, pass the ball, pass the ball. That was the depth of our conversation. And you look at the young girls in my era, having their tea parties, having their dollhouse, having imaginary friends, having a conversation with imaginary friends. You tell me, when they have a problem, they have known how to communicate. And the man has learned how to rejoice and shout. So in that moment of shouting, when there's a problem, some men struggle to articulate what he really feels. That's on the communication side. The other side is, some men are also brought up and told, men don't cry. So the emotional trauma they go through, they hold on to it, thinking it is masculinity. That means that I can hold on to it and I am tough and I'm powerful. No, you're not. You're hurting. So until we learn to speak out, until we learn to articulate our emotions, the woman cannot read your mind. So if you look at what I'm sharing with you now, the marriage would have broken down and it may not be provision that was the problem. Because if it was provision, they'd already agreed. And one would hope that they would have done a budget to say, if the course is 4 years, we have enough money to cover the 4 years. Christ says, before you start building, he said a wise man, before he starts building, will calculate the cost of the building. If not, he rushes to build and halfway through the project runs out of money. And what does he do? He abandons the project. So if I'm going with that scripture, could it be that they didn't plan financially? So she's at school, but the financial pressures are increasing. And because they didn't plan, it became a problem. So instead of support, their conversations now became, we can't afford this, we can't afford that. And these are some of the things that we've got to look at.
You know, I've got another scenario for you.
Mm-hmm.
A real one again.
Okay.
This couple, the man earns about 1,500 from menial job mm-hmm. in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
The woman earns £4,000
right.
from her job. Mm-hmm. They've got two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this man doesn't do anything. At the end of the month, the mortgage is about $1,700. He contributes $500 to the mortgage, household bills, everything, and says, this is how much I can afford.
Right.
Then the woman has been doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, the relationship is very shaky.
It will be.
Why?
If you remember from what we shared before, and I talk about the household income, the woman earning 4,000, the man earning 1,500 means that based on that illustration, the household income is 5,500. At that point, the couple should be able to agree on how they meet the bills. But if the man comes in and starts to dictate and starts to say, well, this is all I'm going to do, and that's it, then it causes a problem. Because the woman will feel she's not being heard, will feel she's being told, or she has to obey what the husband is saying. That will last for a little bit, but after a while, she will start feeling unappreciated. So, he's earning 1,005. The woman is earning a bit more. Let's flip it around. Is there something he can do that would help him to increase his income.
He's not willing to do anything.
Then that's a recipe for challenges. So I'm not surprised they are at a place where they are right now, because it is not sustainable. And I shared with you seasons in my life where my income was not worthy to write home about, and my wife's income was a lot more. First season, we worked together, and my wife knew that, one, I wasn't lazy, and she knew what I was doing. Working 19 hours a day, I just kept pushing myself. And I remember the transition from earning £60 a month and going to 200, 300, and eventually close to 3,000-4,000 a month. I remember the transition in taking a step. And at this time, I had bought franchises. So the franchises was what I was working with. And I decided to grow myself. I needed to employ other people to do the work. So once you employ people and you're paying them, when I say I was earning £60 a month, that was the profit I was getting. But that was pivotal, because I had started duplicating myself. And in duplicating myself, it meant that whilst I had staff working for me and I'm earning less than my staff, I then got to a stage where I now went out and started bidding for contracts. So, year two, I now have my own contracts. I'm not buying franchise contracts. By the time I got to year three, I'm not making enough money.
Look, some men are saying that even when they are willing to do all this, mm-hmm. they don't get the support from their wives.
Right.
Sometimes they come home mm-hmm. and they want to, you know, study a little bit, do a few things to up their game.
Right.
And then, you know, some statements will come in like, oh, what are you doing? You get a job, mm-hmm. you know. And this puts a lot of pressure on some of these men. How should they go about it?
I will still go back to conversations. Communication is one of the things
No, but how do they fix that? How do you fix a marriage where you, the man, wants to improve yourself? I'm not just saying this. Mm-hmm. I have heard people, men, saying this. My wife doesn't support me. My wife doesn't. When I first got into the UK, I started as a cleaner and I wanted to go to school to do an MVQ level 3. Mm-hmm. My wife does not support me. Even I'm telling her, let her just take on an extra job so that at least, you know, I can have 6 months to do this. She doesn't support me. How do we deal with that?
How did you paint the picture? Bill Hybels puts it this way. He says, when we paint a vision, we should paint the vision so, so far away and yet so enticing that the people listening to the vision want to be there. So if you are unable to paint your vision of why you want to do this extra study to increase to better the finances of the home, if you're unable to do that, then it's a communication challenge. So men get home, and you've said it a few times, so I'll just reiterate it back to you. Your friend comes to you and says, my wife is not supporting me. How often do we take a step back and say, what's the issue? But how often do we join the chorus and say, me too, my wife is not supporting me? But we never talk about the issue. What is the issue? And until you learn to deal with the issue, it wouldn't work. It's like somebody suffering from halitosis and chooses to have chewing gum all the time. It will not cure it. You need to go to the dentist for the dentist to deal with whatever it is that's causing the halitosis. So for many men who come and see me and we're talking and they say this in front of me, that, oh, Richard, my wife doesn't support me. The question is, what's the issue? What isn't she supporting you on? Define where your success is. And then I ask the wife to define where her success is. So you can see where the gap is. So you help them in a conversation to narrow the gap, to see different perspectives, and accept a strategy, which for the two of them, they will come up with a strategy that works for them. And then they can move forward. Many of the irritations in our marriages, many of the irritations in relationships is because we do not talk. Men struggle to negotiate. However, we do not talk at home. But put that same man in a business environment and he will negotiate to make sure he gets the best deal. But when he gets home, his perspectives are, my wife is not supporting me. My wife is not listening to me. So when he gets home, he shuts up. And that toxic environment is only just going to breed, grow, and sadly, break the home. So I'm not saying that the communication will solve everything, but it is the beginning. So for that man out there who feels, hey, my wife is not supporting me, my question is, why? Why isn't she supporting you? Can you talk to her about it? And as you discuss it, you can then find out what is the reason. You know, let me just quickly share this with you. I had a couple who came to me and they'd been married for about, I think in the early stages, about 2 or 3 years. And the woman was so upset. She wants to leave the man because, so the question was, what's the problem? I almost laughed when she said it, but these were the things that were irritating her. When she uses the toothpaste, she pushes it from the bottom. The man pushes it from the middle. When she puts the toilet roll on the holder, it falls forward. The guy doesn't care whether it falls forward or backwards. He just puts toilet rolls there and he uses it. Sadly, for most of us men that we have to learn, when he uses the toilet, he doesn't put the seat down. Right? So let me just use these three. And this was irritating to the woman. She had complained and complained and complained and complained. And the man thought, hold on, what's wrong with this? It's just toothpaste. If it's irritating you, push it to the top. He said she's tired of pushing it to the top. She's tired of trying to teach the man that you don't. Hold on. If my habit is causing my loved one hurt, then I should look within myself and say, what can I do about it? The man was nonchalant about it. He felt, wait, this is nothing. Until they sat in front of me, and then I then start asking him questions. Then empathy kicked in. Then he knew, not the threat of the divorce. He could then identify that there were things that the wife was doing that irritated him. And he overlooked it because he felt, this is nothing. So based on his standards of forgiveness, he expected the wife to do the same. So he didn't speak about it. He just rubbished it. But as they come in front of me and we talk, he hears the wife, and for, I won't say the first time, but for that moment, it sinks in. Did he go back home and immediately start pressing the toothpaste right in the middle? No. There are times he'll press it from the bottom, and there are times he'll press in the middle. But the lady had come to a place where she had accepted that he wasn't doing it deliberately. For the man, the toilet roll, when he's running out, he puts it there. He is not conscious whether it has to drop from the front or from the back. For him, there's a toilet roll there. So when my wife goes into the washroom, she should be able to have toilet roll. So now the woman now accepts that, okay, so it's not. So now that she's come to the perspective that it is not deliberate, it means that she is now willing to work with the man. So you can see, some of these things are just, I don't want to say petty, but they are small incidents that we don't deal with. And sadly, it's that small incident that breaks the relationship.
You know, you know your friend, Kwame and the wife just came here and they had just bought a new car. Kwame is your friend though.
Yes.
Then a few moments will come. Hey, today I was with your friend's wife, Linda. Mm-hmm. And she had a new bag.
Mm-hmm.
They even said that they are going to go on holidays in Dubai next week.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't like that.
Why not?
It's comparison. No one likes it.
Let me change it and say it's competition.
Don't you think we must have a better way to communicate those things?
If you are the typical, is there a typical Ghanaian man? If your romance is not, no, let me, forgive me. Let me reframe that. If your love language is misunderstood, then it causes problems. So Kwame's got a new car. Do you have plans on buying a car? And if you do, your wife should know about it. Do you have plans of buying a house? Going on holiday? The luxuries of life, if you have plans for these things, don't keep it to your chest. Share it with your wife. When was the last time the couple sat down and did a goal setting for 2025? And looked at the areas that they cared about. So they looked at their spiritual life. They looked at personal development, health, love and romance, spending time with family. When did they sit down and do all of these things? Or did they just do their crossover night, came home with a message from the church, this is a year of victory? How do you a year of victory? What do you do with that statement? A year of victory must be interpreted into your personal life. That's when the pastors give the word. And when they give the word, you've got to embrace it. Find out the vision. So for my life, I want to buy a new car. Next year, by God's grace, I'll be 60. And I've said to my wife, I want to buy a new car. I've told her the car I want. So when a friend visits me and they're driving the same car, my wife will say to me, that's the car you want.
But that's not the same.
I know.
It's not the same as, hey, you know, Vida came here today and she had a new iPad.
Yes. So she came here. Okay, so why can't I, as a man, say to myself, okay, so my wife wants an iPad.
No,
but my wife wants to go to Dubai. My wife wants a handbag.
Why can't she come to you and say, honey, I want a new handbag? Or is that harder than comparing me to the other man?
Could it be?
Or comparing your wife?
See, the women are not here. But Derek, the women are not here.
I know.
I'm interrupting you for a moment. The women are not here. Mm-hmm. And based on my marriage, based on sessions I have with couples, many of us men don't listen. So before the woman says something that may be, to you, may be embarrassing, there's a likelihood she's mentioned it numerous times. So she's mentioned, let's go on holiday. You tell me, when we lived in the UK, okay, the first time we arrived in the UK, when now, in today's terms, when the city looks small pounds and you get a lot of cities, and you're thinking, okay, fine, I want to finish my house, I want to buy land, I want to do this. So those are the goals that you have. But you don't tell her. Every month you're sending money back home. You don't tell your wife. And your wife needs things. And she keeps hinting. Her birthday. Happy birthday, honey. If she's lucky, she gets a kiss on the lip. You're not showing care. So when she's now saying to you, okay, hey, I saw Vida with an iPad. At that moment, she's saying to you, okay, I have appealed, I have spoken, but you haven't listened. You're not listening to me. In the same way the men will say, my wife is not supporting me. Hear what other women will say. And they will say, my man does not listen. In fact, some women will say, we are housemates. Or roommates. Because the marriage is no longer a marriage. It is not. Marriage is not just that, you know, we get excited and we propose at the height of our love. When we're proposing, it's because we feel, hey, this is it. This is a woman. But for me, I say to every man out there, the day you are proposing, that's when the hard work starts. It was a lot easier dating, because dating, if I don't have money or I don't want to go out, I can call you and say, let's cancel. Now I'm living with you 24/7, 365. Now you tell me, she knows I break wind. She knows how I smell. She knows everything about me, and vice versa. I know everything about her. So in marriage, my role as a man is to learn. Study my wife. And as a husband, as you study your wife, you'll be able to discover her likes, her dislikes, her areas of development, and her areas of strength. And for the men out there, when we are wise, we choose to celebrate her strengths. And by some divine intervention, her areas of development or her areas of weakness, majority of the time, is our areas of strength. So we complement one another. So Kwame has a car, meaning, what's your dream?
So you grew up with multiple siblings.
Yes.
So you understand what, I don't know whether your parents used to do it. You understand what comparison can do.
Yes. I hated it.
Thank you. I don't think there's anybody that likes it.
No. But now, taking context. Mm-hmm. Taking context. So, for example, I remember being compared to my younger brother and my cousins because academically, I wasn't on fire. According to my parents and from the little I can remember, when I was in KG and class one, class two, I was excelling. Then all of a sudden, from class three onwards, I started going downhill. And it was felt that comparing me to other people might be a motivation for me to rise up. It had the negative effect on me. So the more I got compared to other people, the more I felt worthless. The more I felt my confidence was dented. Right? So in the context of that, I can understand.
If this shows up in your marriage again, how would you feel?
When it shows up in my marriage, the thing with my parents is that my parents, I can rarely answer back because I was brought up in a generation where children are to be seen and not heard. But in my marriage, I proposed to the woman. So when she's doing something and I don't like it, I'll say to her, sweetheart, I don't like when you compare me to other people. I will not say it in a threatening way. I've got to voice out what's wrong. I don't like it when you compare me to people. And you've just done that. Don't wait 4 or 5 weeks when you've bottled it up. It happens there and then. Kwame's left your home. He's gone home. Tell him, sweetheart, this is not the way we do it. You're comparing me to Kwame. Do you know Kwame, how much Kwame is earning? You know how much I'm earning. He's got a new car. Okay, we're planning to buy a car. If we're not planning to buy a car, okay, can we plan to buy a car? So then you're bringing the partnership in. So with any of these challenges we have, we should be in the place where we, rather than take offense, embrace it and let your spouse know that comparing you is not the best motivation for you. And then turn it around and then ask, how do we do it? Remember, the man is leading. The man is the head. Now, if he's the head is just decision-making, leading. But Derek, I asked you this some time back. What is in my head? My brain. What's the function of my brain? To serve my body. So when the man is the head, he should serve his wife. Leadership is service. Leadership is influence. So when she is saying things which may cause an irritation, that is when you should step back and take that leadership role and say, okay, fine. What is the message behind this message? If you want to save your marriage, there are times your wife will say something, and if you are not careful, you will react. And in that reaction, you will say other hurtful things. And sadly, hurting people hurt others. So in that heat of the moment, you will say so many things. And there's been times in my marriage where my wife has said something and I didn't pause to listen to the message behind what she was saying. And I allowed my ego to come in and I fired back. And after firing back, you tell me, and I'm waiting for the statistics, how many men out there actually win arguments with their wife? Because I fired back and I thought, yep, I gave as good as I got. And I walked away. My wife, in her gracefulness, waited. Said, we'll go to bed. And we're lying in bed. And she asked me another question. And asked me another question. And originally, my ego was so high, I didn't want to talk. And eventually, I had to find a way to calm Richard down so I could respond. And every time my wife and I have had conversations and I have responded, which means I have listened actively, I have done all the critical thinking I need to do, I have weighed whatever it is, and out of that, responded, becomes a conversation. When I react, it becomes an argument.
So let me pause you here for a second. I'm sure at this point, you're really enjoying this conversation. But you see, for us to be able to move this podcast from where it is today to the next level, we require you to leave a review, share this with a friend or a family member. Because this is how we can get the message out to as many people as we can. We appreciate your time for listening. And hold on for the next question I've got for Coach Richard. So, a lot of people are saying that some of the perspectives you share sits very much in the traditional way of how to manage our finances in marriage and how a man and a woman is supposed to deal with their marriage.
Okay.
Now, what do you think is the actual role of a man financially in marriage?
I love the way you've tried to couch the question, and great question. So, I speak from a perspective, you call it traditional. But before I come back to the main question, which is, what's the role of a man in terms of the finances of the home? But let's go back a little bit. My parents' time and my grandparents' time, it was the man that went to work. The woman was the homemaker. There was one income. And they achieved a lot. In a generation, at the present generation, both husband and wife go to work. And they come back home. So, how do you balance that? Because, you see, when we look at just the finances, we do a disservice to the other things that it goes with. Because the marriage is not just about finances. So the role of the man with the finances at home is, once again, leadership. The both husband and wife agree on how they spend the money, and he takes a lead. And the leadership here is influencing how the money is spent. They've agreed. I will not change my mind on having a joint account. It's worked for me. It may not work for you. But even if you plan your finances, when there's going to be an overspend or there's going to be a purchase that has not been planned, you talk about it. The man doesn't say, because I'm the head, signs a check for X amount or something, and the wife doesn't know anything about it. So there needs to be communication. And that's where the man needs to understand that being the head means he has to serve. So you've got that. Yes, I have lived abroad before coming back to Ghana. However, isn't it prudent on my side, or shouldn't it be prudent on my side, to be able to look at practices that are benefiting marriages? Think about it. And where I can, fit it into my African template. I don't take everything wholesale. I've got to look at it and say, okay, fine. Does this fit into my wife and myself? Does it fit into what we have? And that's, again, a conversation. Let me share this with you from a couple of friends, one in Ghana, one in the UK. The one in the UK was my pastor. He said to me, his wife and himself have agreed on the limit of money that they can lend to somebody. And if the person doesn't pay, they will forgive and the relationship remains. And most of the time, or it appeared that most of the time, the people who needed money will go to the man and ask for money. And he would normally share with his wife and then come back and say, okay, fine. Hey, this is the amount of money we can give you. So you might go in asking for 10,000 and he might turn and say, okay, look, I can't give you 10,000. I can give you 1,000. That could be the limit that if you don't pay back, it doesn't ruin the friendship. But there are times they have given somebody 10,000 and the person hasn't paid and it's turned nasty. So even though he's a pastor, he'll forgive you, but he'll pursue you. You get CCJs, right? There's another friend who's in Ghana who said to me, my wife and myself have agreed not to lend money to anybody. So if you go and see him and ask for money, he'll tell you, my wife and myself have agreed not to lend money. That's leading. So in answering the question, the man is supposed to lead. And when somebody comes to the woman and asks for money, don't forget, you're talking. The moment one of the parties breaks their own code, then that unity is broken.
This is the problem we have, yeah? And the problem is that in the days where a lot of men, quote unquote, have what they call side chick, why should any woman that knows that their husband is not faithful keep their monies together?
You know, I, from our conversations, you notice that I don't like just going straight and answering a question based on the scenario. Why is he cheating in the first place?
But why should any woman bring their money to the table to a man
that has
financial?
I hear you.
Maybe they have a child outside of the marriage. Mm-hmm. They have, I don't even like to call it, a side chick. If it was my sister.
It's a reality.
And she came to me and said, this is what Don is doing. And for that, I would tell her, look, I would give her a very straight advice.
Right.
Keep your money and build your life.
Right.
Because at any point, this man can disappoint you. Why can't you give that advice to a young lady who is experiencing that as a coach?
We have already shared the independence of the finances. So if the monies they are both contributing is covering the household bills, then a man must be a magician. He must find other monies from somewhere else to sponsor his extramarital affairs.
A lot of women are not actually even bringing the money in. The moment they realize that this is what the man is doing, they won't even support anything that you're doing.
Right. And she's right to do that. So you need a conversation.
Or you stop.
You need a conversation. I will discourage you from stopping the relationship, but I will encourage you to talk. Because even the Bible says, infidelity is the only thing that would break or that God accepts as a way of ending a marriage, adultery. However, Bible still encourages that if it's left to us, we shouldn't divorce. We should still pursue the relationship. So this should be issues that, again, needs to be discussed. So here you have the woman coming to the full realization that the man is not being faithful. If she withdraws her money from the household income, what happens?
Well, this is the point where they will push you, take you through any legal system, stress you, you still take care of the bills in the house. Single-handedly.
Here in Ghana or in the UK?
In the UK.
But I'm looking at here. So you see, if we're here and we have a mortgage, or we're renting. The beautiful thing is that if you've built, there's not, what you're taking care of is the household bills, right? So where you have extra cash and you're misbehaving, even when the wife pulls out, you'll still find a way to manage. It'll be bare minimum, but you still manage to pay the bills, make sure there's electricity, there's gas, and then there's food in the house.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that when a man is seen to be unfaithful in a relationship, it affects the woman a lot.
It does.
Especially their financial contribution to the marriage.
No, don't narrow it down to the finances.
Well, I'm saying that because
I beg you.
Trust. Trust.
It's not just the finances.
And all of that. And the reason I'm saying that is I have seen it in a marriage.
Yeah.
Where the mother started making decisions that will benefit her and her children.
Yeah.
And that's how it normally goes.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my children.
Yes.
So they retract everything that usually would go into a family pot.
That's right.
Because they can't trust you anymore.
Of course. And if that's the situation, if she wants to stay in the marriage, I will encourage that they speak to a therapist, speak to their counselors, speak to somebody. But the first, if her action is to stop contributing to the pot, in the end, the house suffers. You're looking at a family where the household income is 1,500. The bills are 1,200. The man is being unfaithful. The woman pulls her money out. So now there's a shortfall. The man can't afford to maintain the house. Not unless the woman is buying things with her money. Not giving the money to the man, but not denying herself the pleasure of being in the home. And then deal with the issue. Having a side chick is very costly. Repairing it can be even more. Because it is not the finance that the woman pulls out. The woman is going through emotional trauma. And the saddest thing is, nobody sees the depth of an emotional scar. If you cut me now, you'll be able to see it. But when you hurt me emotionally, nobody sees it. So we undermine, underrate, and actually sometimes rubbish the cost of those emotional scars. So I encourage women out there, if he's found cheating and you decide to take the finance, take it from him, but not from the home. Until you can sort things out. And I'll say this. If he's found cheating and you go for counseling, let him pay for it. Don't contribute. If the woman is found cheating and you go for counseling, let her pay for it. Because that's the only way that they'll start taking responsibility for their actions.
Where you say that we should have a joint account, contribute to the family pot. If the woman is also contributing, well, is the man also going to take charge of some of the household chores?
Oh, Derek, this is a great question. I say to husbands, if you want a cleaner, if you want a clean home, and you're not prepared to contribute, clean the house with your wife. If you want good food and you're not prepared to cook, then employ a cook. Before you met the woman, you were cooking, you were cleaning, you were doing all the things. Now you're married, and in your dynamics, the woman is out there working the same hours as you, sometimes even more. You expect her to come back home, cook, clean, be the most intimate and adventurous woman in bed with you. And your role is to come home and sit down, watch sports, and read a newspaper. That era went with the COVID. It's gone. Men, step up. Clean the house for yourself. Cook for yourself. In fact, In my marriage, when we lived in the UK with our children, I get home from work. I don't wait for my wife to come home. I will cook for my children and prepare something for my wife to come home and eat. Whoever gets home first does that. Because marriage is a partnership. I don't know why we think it is fair for us men to come home and expect everything to be immaculate and we won't raise a finger. If you haven't got the money to hire the cook and the cleaner, roll up your sleeves, wash up. In fact, my children, they laugh at this. When they were younger, I told them, I will not buy a dishwasher. We learned to wash up ourselves. To date, I still wash the plate. I live in Ghana. I have 2 house helps, but I still wash my plate. I would sweep. I would mop. It's not because I've hired them. It's because I take pride in my home. So if you want to be a man who can strike your chest and say, I am the modern man, then get off your high horse and work with your wife.
Coach Richard, I'd like to thank you so much for your time. And to all our listeners and our viewers, thank you so much for the time that you have taken to listen to this conversation. If you loved it, if you liked it, and I just want to drop this in there, that Coach Richard has got a few books that he has written. His coaching and mentorship is amazing for even young people, married couples. If you're looking for that person that will listen to you, hear you, and provide the support that you need to go through the tough times when they do come. And you know, for me, look, I've gone for therapy several times, counseling several times with my wife. And I didn't do it because we had problems. We did it because that is the right thing to do. Sometimes you just need people to talk to about certain things that are happening. People who will not judge you. People who just listen from a place of no judgment, basically. And we've just done that. And when I was about to get married, this was actually one beautiful thing we did. I took counseling from 5 people. 5.
Wow.
I'm just one of those people. And maybe this is the reason why I do podcasting, because I just like to listen to people's experiences and what I can pick from it.
Right.
So I just told myself, look, let's go to this person, that person, that person. And by the time we finished, we had 5 people. Everybody said different things and what has worked for them in their marriages. Some of them, you know, we didn't think it was going to work for us. We dropped it. But we took everything, came up with our own plan, and that's what we live by.
Yes.
So don't wait until, you know, you have problems in your marriage or in your life before you start looking for a counselor or a mentor or a coach. Follow Coach Richard wherever you can find him. Instagram is the best, Richard Akita. And I'm going to put his details in the description on Spotify, Apple. We appreciate you. And my name is Derek Abaite. Stay connected. I'm out.